This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Jim Inman joining you on what is this, Friday, the first Friday of December, which means many of you that are catching us live on Friday night are heading out to First Friday around downtown's square and through the art galleries and exhibits and all of that. And if you're out enjoying that, kudos to you for getting a little bit of culture tonight on this December 5th, 2014. Glad that you are joining us for your weekend as we kick off the last month of 2014. Hard to believe that in just a week or so, it's actually going to be the two-year anniversary of yours truly taking the helm of the big show here at the Bloomington Review, and really grateful for that opportunity over the last couple of years. It's been fun. Of course, Mr. Brian Callahan was the original co-host with me for some time, and Mr. David Piller from Jackson Creek Middle School is the regular sidekick now and my very good buddy to have in the studio. He's actually out this week, as I say that, though, because he has a variety of obligations, but he knows that the door is always open. Excuse me. And so hopefully he will be back in the next week or two, and we welcome him with open arms. But hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. It was nice to have a little bit of the white stuff come down on Thanksgiving Day here across Bloomington and southern Indiana. Kind of different to have that, and I always still go out to my grandmother's house over the river and through the woods. She lives over in Owen County. Her name is Dee Freeman, and we still do the turkey dressing, noodles, yeast rolls, all of that stuff, and she still puts on a spread, and it was just a good, fun time. Most of the family was there, and I also want to give a special shout-out to my Aunt Carol. Carol got remarried. She had her second chance at love, so to speak, and she and my friend Scott Knapp, ironically, we knew each other through two different worlds. Carol's been my aunt, obviously, my whole life, and I've known Scott for several years now, and then about a year or so back, they met and have fallen in love, and so they got married on Thanksgiving Eve this year and had their wedding reception this past Saturday night, and very nice to see cousins and family out and about, and just congratulations to them this holiday season. So hopefully all of our listeners are having a good time as we get into the holiday season. If you've missed any part of the last couple of weeks, well, you missed out on some fun stuff. Not only do we have Marty Vaness from the Butterball Turkey Experts and the Turkey Hotline, but David Piller and Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington were in the studio as well, and Julie started kicking off some of the great things taking place around Bloomington and southern Indiana during the holiday season. So if you miss any part of those shows, head over to WGCLradio.com and click on the local shows link and the Bloomington Review. That will take you right where you need to go, and we replayed the Thanksgiving show last weekend, did a little bit of editing to that, but if you missed any of those shows over the last couple of weeks and want to know more, make sure that you check out WGCLradio.com. Twitter, of course, at WGCLradio as well. And then Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Lots of information there for you, including some stuff for tonight. Our guest in just a few minutes is going to be a first-timer on radio, Allison Zook. She is the owner of AZ Vintage here in Bloomington, and I wanted to have her on for a couple of reasons. One is that I love the whole mid-century modern look and all of the retro stuff and neat stuff, and so she's going to talk a little bit about that. But it is also the Bloomington Antique Dealers group. They're going to be putting on their holiday open houses this Saturday and Sunday. So Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check that out. We'll put the link up to their Facebook page, and you can get all the details there. And basically, if once you start at one shop, you can go around to all the 12, 13 more that are out there this weekend, support local businesses. But if you're into the kitschy stuff and some different kinds of things, this is the weekend for you. And especially if you're trying to find a holiday gift for someone who is very hard to buy for, and you have heard them mention a special toy that they had as a child or some kind of unique item that you don't buy in a big box store, you find it online or you find it in the attic of some place, this is the show where we'll talk about some of those things and how you kind of figure out the real value of those. Because just because someone offers an item for $5,000 on eBay doesn't mean that it actually is worth $5,000. Amazing. I know. So, Allison will be with us here in just a couple minutes. We're over high school football season. We appreciate everybody that stayed with us all through the last couple of months as WGCL has been your home for high school football coverage. Bloomington South lost the weekend before Thanksgiving. Tough one there, but that was the finale of all of that. But, of course, Joe Smith Reports and In the Zone and Glass in the Morning with Joe and Chuck Crabb and everything, all of that at WGCLradio.com. Streaming live 24/7. Make sure that you check all that stuff out. While you're at WGCLradio.com, one quick thing before we take a break. Check out the holidays in your hometown. We've got a nice little link up there with a lot of events that are taking place around the community. So if you're streaming your radio through your phone or through your tablet, when you're at WGCLradio.com, look for that red holidays in your hometown and check that out while you are enjoying the broadcast. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going back to the old school, old show format. We'll get you some news and weather updates in the next segment. Then towards the bottom of the hour, Allison Zook will be our guest here in just a few minutes. Plenty of stuff to talk about in sports. Hoosier football, I should say, wrapped up last weekend, and they kept the Oaken Bucket in Bloomington. Very nice to have that around, and we still have some Colts coverage as well here on WGCL. Of course, as always, stay with us for the full hour, and if you're catching us Friday night, start your weekend off here. Or if you're waking up with us Saturday morning, glad to have you here as well. It's Jim Inman and you for the next little bit here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio with you on your Friday night. Very glad that you're tuning in to the big show. Of course, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Would love to hear feedback from you, so make sure that you check that out. And, of course, we put all the information up about the show there as well. Weather forecast for the weekend. If you're out for First Friday around downtown Bloomington, you're probably getting a little bit damp. We got rain tonight. We have rain tonight. That is the proper terminology across this station, at least in my mind. We have rain tonight with a low around 42. Then on Saturday, 20% chance of rain in the morning, high near 45. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 29. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 41. Of course, all your weather all the time, WGCLradio.com. A few weeks back, we talked about Election Day and the coverage and how it was a little bit down across the state. Well, it's actually worse. Monroe County is among the worst of the worst when it comes to voting, according to the Herald Times. This year's November election saw the lowest percentage of voter turnout in the county in a decade for a general election. We clocked in at 26%, ladies and gentlemen. That's according to the official turnouts by the Indiana Secretary of State's office earlier this week. It is the third lowest voter turnout rate in the state of Indiana. We're just ahead of Johnson County. They had 24%, and Marion and Miami counties tied at 25%. DeKalb County and Vandenberg County, Vandenberg's down around Evansville, they tied with us at the 26% rate. Monroe County Clerk Linda Robbins said the low rate is probably due to a combination of factors, including to what she referred to as election burnout. The lack of political participation is concerning, Robbins, she said in the Herald Times this week, and said technically the number of voters has increased as the population has increased, although voter turnout has not kept pace. What does that mean? A smaller percentage of people control the outcome of elections compared to the total population. As Mr. Pillar and I like to say, if you don't vote, don't complain. But if you do vote, you do have a voice, especially in an election area like what we just experienced. The state average was 30%. Now, that's lower than the last similar election, which was a midterm election without a senatorial race back in 2002 when turnout was 39%. In Monroe County back in 2002, our percentage rate was 30%. Bottom line, vote, 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 vote. That's what I say about that. Parking tickets, parking meters, all that fun conversation. Well, according to Government Tracker, the city of Bloomington is issuing more and earning more from parking tickets. In all but 1 month, revenue was higher in the post-meter area. January 2014 was the only exception, but city parking enforcement officers were kept off the streets several days because, as we all remember, that was a month of bitter cold and crazy snow. That was also a time when there were issues with meters freezing, which saved some drivers from receiving tickets. The number of citations written was also higher in all but 2 months, January and August of this year, and overall tickets increased by 25% from the year before meters to the year after. Now, most of the tickets have been paid for and have a zero balance, according to city records, from August of 2013 to just this past November. And nearly all of the citations were $20. Some were $50, and there were even a few who, shame, 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 Santa Claus is watching, had $100 tickets as well. The most highly ticketed street in the area, Morton Street, with 6,400 plus tickets. College Avenue, not too far behind, really, 5,500. And Walnut Street with 4,800 parking tickets. In other words, carry your quarters if you've got them, ladies and gentlemen. On a national scene, Indiana is going to join 16 states in a lawsuit challenging President Barack Obama's new immigration policies. The suit, which was spearheaded by Texas, asks a judge to declare the president's executive order unconstitutional because it's a policy change that did not receive congressional approval. Indiana Governor Mike Pence will use outside attorneys to handle the lawsuit, and any legal cost will be covered by the governor's office, not the attorney general. Pence issued in a statement earlier this week that, quote, while responsible people can differ on ways to improve our nation's broken immigration system, the president's unilateral action was an unacceptable end run around the democratic process, and joining other states in pursuing legal recourse to challenge this action is the right thing to do. Pence went on to say that the suit is not about immigration, but denying states such as ours the opportunity to be represented in policy making through our elected members of Congress. Pence had been informally discussing a possible suit with Indiana Attorney General Greg Zeller since the president last month issued the executive order, which provides deportation relief to about 5 million immigrants in the United States illegally. On Wednesday this week, Zeller received a letter from Pence, quote, formally directing you to use any and all legal means necessary to represent the state of Indiana as a plaintiff in the suit being filed by the state of Texas. Zeller was not available for comment. However, Obama has repeatedly defended his actions, saying in an editorial piece on Tuesday this week that he still believes, quote, the best way to solve this problem is by working together with both parties to pass that kind of bipartisan law. Finally, on the local scene, have you ever been out and purchased any food from these food vendors and their food trucks out around, especially the downtown area? It's a hot item with the Bloomington City Council right now. And on Wednesday night, seven amendments were introduced when the council discussed legislation regulating food trucks, food carts, food solicitors, and several council members agreed more amendments are needed. With all the changes considered, the council postponed a final vote on the ordinance and will take the topic up again at the December 10th meeting. That is coming up next week. Two of the bigger issues debated at length were involving the limit on generator noise level and the 50-foot restriction from brick-and-mortar restaurants. Now, here's where all the technical stuff kicks in. The original language capped generator noise at 60 decibels to be determined from the manufacturer's label, and the council considered an amendment to bump the limit to 70 decibels, measured from 4 feet away, and allow generators to be altered to lower the sound level. However, that conflicts with some of the ways that manufacturer measures those. Bottom line, the council voted 8-1 to withdraw that measure. Marnie Speckler voted against doing so. Another amendment regarding the 50-foot rule clarified the measurement could be from the building facade or perimeter of outside seating. The outside seating specification had been discussed and included in council documents, but was not in the ordinance language until Wednesday. Several members of the public spoke against the 50-foot restriction, including some downtown business owners. The council approved the amendment to the 50-foot rule 9-0. More on the food truck proposition next week on the Bloomington Review. We're going to take a break. When we come back, again, we have a very good guest here in the studio, Allison Zook from AZ Vintage. Let's talk about all the cool stuff that you've got in the attic or down in the basement in the boxes. You're pulling it out. It's the old Santa Claus. It's the crazy little angel dolls that you've had since 1956. Where did that stuff come from? Does it have any value? Are you just looking for some cool stuff for your home this holiday season? Allison has all the details coming up here in just a couple minutes. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman joining you on the first Friday of December here and in the studio. Pleasure to have a first-time guest in here, and she is kind of the guru of all the cool retro stuff. What would you call yourself, Allison, if somebody said, what's your title, or what's a cool retro antique junkie like yourself? What would you... Would you give yourself a title, so to speak?
I've never thought about that. I usually refer to myself as shopkeep.
Really?
That seems to be an old-timey kind of shopkeep girl.
Well, okay. Well, Allison Zook is our guest. She is the owner of AZ Vintage, which is in downtown Bloomington, and wanted to have her come in because this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday, or if you're catching us Saturday, today and tomorrow, it is the annual holiday open house across Bloomington, Monroe County, correct?
Yes.
And how many vendors do you have in this yearly parade of antique shops?
Well, this is the fourth annual holiday open house, and this year we have 13 participating stores, mm-hmm. All through the Bloomington Antique Dealers Association.
And Bloomington has a lot of cool stuff to it. We already know that. But this is kind of focusing on antiques. Again, I don't know if I like the word retro, so to speak, but all that, the cool stuff that's kind of everybody's wanting to get into, rather than a mass-produced retro look-alike kind of thing. This is the original stuff,
the
correct?
Real deal, yes.
Okay. So what is your role in all of this?
I co-chair the Bloomington Antique Dealers Association with Jeff Schofield, who owns the warehouse. Mm-hmm. And he started this back in 2010 with a holiday open house, just as a way to, because there are lots of great shops, and there's retro, which kind of means, you know, fun and kitsch and, you know, 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. silly, not so silly.
It can be.
The fun stuff, the campy. Retro, to me, just kind of leans to the campy kind of side of things. But we have vintage stores and antique shops and collectibles. So the Dealers Association finds all of the independently owned vintage and antique shops in Bloomington, and what we do is get everybody working on a team. We're all small businesses, so mm-hmm. if we can gather together in force, co-share marketing costs, we act better as an organization that way, and we can market ourselves as a draw for folks to come to town, and when folks are in the shops, to know who else to check out.
I told Allison before she came into the studio that this is kind of a good time of year to get into this stuff, because as a lot of people come back home, or if you're headed out and a lot of older folks are giving away stuff that they've had for years and years. We no longer need it. And it can be something very cheesy that's not worth much mm-hmm. in a tangible sense, but yet it's the little toy that you played with as a kid 40 years ago, and your grandmother finally gave it to you, and like, I will never trade this for anything else again. So you guys have all kinds of stuff throughout your stores and your association.
Yes.
And are these things that you find locally, or how do you at AZ, how do you find your collections? Is it various methods? Or?
Yes, there's all kinds. I say I leave no vintage stone unturned.
Okay.
My favorite part of finding it is being out on the road and traveling and just winding through back roads and finding little towns and stopping into their shops and antique stores and seeing what's out there. It's a treasure hunt. Mm-hmm. There are lots of folks that bring things in to sell to me. Somebody cleaned out their closet. They don't know what to do with that little old toy.
Sure.
So they'll, you know.
And then, of course, a lot of people assume, well, I'm just going to go on eBay and find whoever has this item, and then, well, maybe I can make some Christmas money because I don't want this thing after all. And so they look and they see what the asking price is on eBay, which means, well, somebody's asking $5,000 for this salt and pepper shaker. I can get $5,000, but you can't.
No, it's the online market is very different from the actual market. When folks are looking up their stuff on eBay, what I always recommend is when you type in vintage cookie jar, mm-hmm. you know, and you're going to narrow down your search, type in what you got, you may find 50 listings. And it may say you have a $100 cookie jar. What I tell people to do is go to the completed listings and look at what's sold. folks put things up at a buy it now price, they put things up at an auction price, and that all kind of works out differently. And it's looking on eBay is a great way to gauge the current market value. But you're gauging it on a national level. Say if you have a vintage Indiana Hoosiers cookie jar, that's going to go, you know, for a lot more in Bloomington than it could online.
Right. Okay. We're talking with Allison Zook, who is the owner of AZ Vintage downtown Bloomington. And it's the big antique stores of Bloomington, Monroe County doing their annual holiday association. What are some of the shops that are going to be participating this weekend?
Well, we have 13 this year, and they are the 2nd Street Antique Mall, myself at AZ Vintage, the B-Town Flea Market, Cactus Flower, Cherry Canary Vintage, The Cube, which is an offshoot of The Warehouse, Found, the historic Bloomington Antique Mall, Lost Empire, Sarah Jane and David's Attic, The Warehouse, Vintage Warehouse, and the Westbury Antique Market.
Okay,
lots
so,
to choose from.
So if you are catching this show on Friday night or Saturday morning, we're going to put the links to this. There is a Facebook page.
Yes.
What's the Facebook page called again, Allison?
Just look up Bloomington Antique Dealers Association.
So we'll put the link to that on Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview to check that out. And I'm sure that you have all the information to all of these different stores and what's going on this weekend there.
Yes.
And what are the hours Saturday and Sunday for the association and the sales?
Saturday, it's going to be 10 to 6, and Sunday, it is 12 to 6. And all the stores will have something different to offer. Some folks are having sales. Everybody's festively decorated, and we'll have refreshments and treats laid out. And it's fun to go around to each shop, really a chance to experience it and see what everybody has. And there's raffle boxes in every store, so you can register to win gift certificates while you're there.
Does the association only do this at the holiday time, or do you do anything else throughout the year?
So far, we've mainly done the holiday open house. We do have, you know, it's a network for everybody to get together and a resource for us internally. So if somebody comes in and says, I'm looking for this and I don't have it, I'm going to look through my dealers association list and I'm going to think about who might carry that or what I've seen in shops or what they've posted on their Facebook page or onto ours and send folks that way.
Okay. And the thing about this is that every shop is unique in their selection as well.
Yep.
Even if we're talking about the antique cookie jar, you may have one at AZ, but there may be another one at the warehouse or the antique mall.
Yep.
And so that's the whole point of getting out this weekend and trying these different shops. And you may find stuff that, I mean, I'm a very sentimental person. I find stuff that I remember as a little kid, and it's totally worth spending $10 to put on the shelf and have. So what's part of your pride and joy in your shop right now? Have you got one or two things that you just...
Oh my gosh,
I can't.
It's always the
hardest. I threw you a curveball. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's no. And that's something I should always have a stock answer to that, because I get that question a lot where it's like, what's your favorite thing? And it changes constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I just put out some watches that I'm really excited about. I tinker with watch repair. I found a couple the other day, and taking something like that and polishing it up and getting it working again and watching that little heartbeat, I'm always very excited about those. Those make me really happy.
We were talking with Allison Zook from AZ Vintage. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this weekend's holiday sales all across Bloomington. We'll give you the links again for the information as well. So if you are doing your Christmas shopping right now and you're trying to find something unique, not a big box store item, but something that really sets it apart from everything else, stay with us for more here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back again, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman joining you along with Allison Zook from AZ Vintage, and we're talking about the holiday season and people getting all those cool toys out of the attic and digging around and mom and dad or grandma and grandpa's stuff. And do you see a lot of people repurposing things because they've seen something on Pinterest or on Facebook and somebody took grandpa's old RCA television because he worked at the RCA factory in Bloomington back in 1958, and now it's the fish tank or the new bar or things like that? I mean, does stuff ever come through your way in some form?
Oh, yes. No, most definitely. And I love... Sometimes I find things and it's like, oh, that RCA TV, it's so cool, and I can't, it almost becomes, I feel like I have to save it, like it has to be salvaged.
Right.
Like it's just sitting here by this, you know, dumpster and it's getting ready to be thrown away. No, no, get in the truck. I drive a big truck so I can save all the things that I come across. And it's cool to take those things. And I mean, because there are folks that will break out the glass and, you know, turn them into a bar and retrofit them as fish tanks. It can be a little careful if you're doing that. You always want to dispose of the guts of them properly. There can be some wear gloves, safety goggles,
some mercury.
Yep, you know. Don't put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
But folks do that with lots of things. One of the big trends right now is suitcases.
Oh, really?
Folks take suitcases and you put little table legs on them and you can turn them into side tables and storage ottomans and cat beds. Some folks will mount them on the wall and put a mirror on the front and turn into a medicine cabinet.
Oh my gosh.
It's really neat. And I love the idea that when something is past its prime for using it, when it's actually for taking it and repurposing it and recycling. Because this very much is a green industry. You know, when you're buying something vintage and antique, you know, you're recycling already just by doing that. So it's great to take that further and retrofit things.
So what do people do if they find something that they are just, I don't know what it is. What do I do with it? Is it worth anything? I mean, you know, my mom has told me for years, you've got to clean out your room at her house. And same with my sister, like she wants to get rid of stuff. But, you know, most of it's sentimental, but some of it's like, is it really worth anything? So what do you do in those situations?
Well, lots of research. Lots of research and figuring out, finding the item and finding out what it is and what you have and if it still works or doesn't work. And then figuring out what you want to do with it. Do you want to hang on to it? You know, if it's an old dress that doesn't fit you, that has sentimental value, you know, do you just put that back in the closet and look at it every 6 years? Or do you take that to a shop and sell that to somebody and, you know, get that back out at cocktail parties and, you know, give it a new life?
Yeah, yeah. So is yours, with it being the holiday season, are you guys seeing a lot of the holiday stuff out for sale right now? Or is that something that you do all year long? Because I know a lot of people... You and I came across each other's paths because I have an aluminum Christmas tree
that I'm
trying to get rid of. It's a great Christmas tree. Track me down on Facebook if you're interested. But I just don't have any use for it anymore.
Right.
So we started talking and, you know, here we are tonight on the show. But do people pull that stuff out this time of year because they want to find a new home for it? I mean, do you see seasonal things throughout the calendar year?
Oh, yes.
What else comes about?
I mean, this time of year, lots of coats, lots of sweaters.
Ugly Christmas sweaters, by the way.
Lots of ugly Christmas sweaters. beautifully ugly. Folks, because, I mean, you have this old Christmas thing, and you just, every year, it just gets tossed back into your Christmas stuff.
Right.
And finally, you're going to sit down, and you're going to go through everything, and you're like, I'm not going to get these 17 boxes out. You're condensing it to 9.
Mm-hmm.
I do see a lot of seasonal stuff coming my way. But, I mean, in this industry, you know, it comes to us at all times. And it's not like we can go to the vintage... We vintage stores don't have a vintage store to go to, so when we find stuff, we have to buy it, we have to store it, we have to.
So a lot of people might consider consignment shops if they're wanting to do something like that, or eBay or Craigslist, but you've got to be careful and don't get frustrated if you're asking too much for something because you're confusing sentimental value versus real value. But by the same token, if it is a true first Hank Aaron baseball card, don't ask $5 for it, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always better to start high and then lower it from there if you're not sure.
Have you ever had that opportunity to be like the Antiques Roadshow folks where somebody comes in and says, I bought this for $10, and you can say, well, I actually have seen this for... Oh, you're shaking your head.
I've seen some really neat stuff come in. Unfortunately, I'm a little too honest when it comes to that. I don't want to steal anybody's stuff, but, you know, it's neat to see things come in and folks are like, oh, I don't know what this old thing is. And I'm just like, oh, that's this old amazing handbag. And, you know, you want to sell me this thing for $5 and it's really worth, you know,
a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. And,
Well, and plus, with Bloomington, we had, as we talked about a few minutes ago, the RCA televisions. We had showers, furniture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those pieces still are in circulation across the community. And
they are. They are. I love when I find Showers Brothers furniture. I'm located on Morton Street, so every day I look at City Hall and I look at the Showers building. And I mean, I love that it's still in use and the city's preserved it, but I mean, that the Showers complex used to be a huge sprawl around Bloomington. And the thing that I really love about that is that all the wood was from Bloomington. So when you find a piece of Showers Brothers furniture, that tree was grown in Bloomington, cut in Bloomington, made in Bloomington.
True.
And when they stay here, it's just, it's a happy feeling. They have that. That to me has one of the best histories of Bloomington items that I can find.
Well, it is the annual, tell me again, the annual holiday.
Yes, the Bloomington Antique Dealers Association 4th Annual Holiday Open House.
Holiday Open House. And let's name our 13 vendors one more time. And this is taking place not tonight on Friday night, but if you're catching the replay Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And Allison will give you the hours and the shops that are participating.
Yep. Everybody is together Saturday from 10 to 6 and Sunday from noon to 6. And those folks are the 2nd Street Antique Mall, AZ Vintage, B-Town Flea Market, Cactus Flower, Cherry Canary Vintage, The Cube, Found, the Historic Bloomington Antique Mall, Lost Empire, Sarah Jane and David's Attic, The Warehouse, Vintage Warehouse, and the Westbury Antique Market. 13 fine folks and members of Bloomington Antique Dealers.
And I have kind of like a pamphlet size sheet of paper, a flyer, the Bloomington Antique Dealer Association, with a great map on it.
Yep.
Dealer contact information on the other side. And as I mentioned before, facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview will have the link up there as well. So you can click on that this weekend. And as you're out and about doing your Christmas shopping, head to these great stores, local stores,
yes,
as
sir.
Well. Big, important factor here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And every store has a different collection. It's kind of like when you even go to one of these shops and you find a shirt that you like or the ugly Christmas sweater, but it's a size too big or too small. Yeah, you can be frustrated with it, but you may find something even better at the next spot, or you may find exactly what you need when you turn around and look on the other side of the store.
It's true. You never know.
And you guys change inventory all the time, I'm sure.
Constantly.
Okay, good deal. Well, check it out. Allison, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Plenty of sports to talk about in the big scene and the big world and all of that. If we get on the football side of things, the Indianapolis Colts have added a little bit of love from the IU Hoosiers. They have added to its roster effective Tuesday this week the signing of former Hoosier left tackle Andrew McDonald. McDonald played in 2 games for Seattle this season before being placed on the Seahawks practice squad in late November and then was released on Friday last week. Miami Dolphins originally signed McDonald as an undrafted free agent back in May of 2012, and he spent time with Carolina last season. McDonald started 25 of the 36 games he played at IU, including the last 23 at left tackle. He's a grad of Warren Central, and he's joined on the Colts roster this season, or will be joined on the Colts roster by Hamilton Southeastern's Joe Wright. And a move tied in with that, Indianapolis waived tight end Wesley Saunders. Now, speaking of Colts football, of course, WGCL is your home to all of your Colts coverage and a lot of your NFL coverage as well. This weekend on WGCL Radio, 1370, 96.1 FM. Sunday the 7th, 12 o'clock, the Colts take on the Cleveland Browns. They are headed out that way. Then on Sunday night at 7:30, Sunday Night Football, New England Patriots take on the Chargers. Monday Night Football, the Falcons are at the Green Bay Packers. That's an 8 o'clock kickoff. And then on Thursday Night Football, right after Your Money with David Hayes, actually I shouldn't say that, at 8 o'clock next Thursday, after Your Money with David Hayes, Cardinals at the Rams. And of course, as I mentioned, WGCLradio.com. Check out all of the stats under the sports section area there. But again, you've got to get your radio turned on for the NFL coverage. So 96.1 FM or AM 1370 WGCL Radio for all of that. Also on the local scene, of course, the IU men's basketball team, they've had a little bit of a rough start. And it's been a couple weeks since we've talked about this. Excuse me, with Coach Crean and some players having a little bit of some concerns. However, we are on a 6-1 run right now, and then tomorrow on Saturday, or if you're catching us Saturday, tonight, we have Savannah State coming to Bloomington, 7:30 for the tip-off for that. And then it's Jimmy V Classic next week, where we play Louisville in New York City, Madison Square Garden for that. That game is scheduled for December 9th. IU Ladies Hoops, they've got the same setup right now, 6-1, and they're going to be playing IUPUI here in Bloomington on Sunday with a 2 o'clock tip, and then IPFW next week on the 10th at 7 o'clock at Assembly Hall. And, of course, every Friday from 7 to 8 in the morning, you can catch up with Chuck Crabb and the IU Hoosiers update with he and Mr. Mike Glascott. So make sure that you check that out as well. There's been a lot going on also when you go to iuhoosiers.com. A lot of information about the men's and women's swimming and diving. So if you are into the inside scene and want to check out some fantastic sportsmanship, you can head out to see some of that. Check iuhoosiers.com for the times and locations and all that. But men's and women's swimming and diving is big right now here at IU. As I mentioned earlier on in the show, last weekend the Hoosiers kept the Oaken Bucket in town. They defeated Purdue 23-16. Rough season for the Hoosiers this year. No bowl game, obviously, as we wrap up the college scene on the football schedule. But nice, nonetheless, to go out with a win in the Oaken Bucket game here in Bloomington. And I, as I mentioned early on, Thanksgiving weekend, it was a little bit cold and chilly, but I think it actually ended up being nice Saturday for that game. So kudos to that. And if you've never been an Oaken Bucket game, it's a heck of a lot of fun. That's all I'm saying about that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We've got some information from Julie Warren, her Friday fact check. So we'll give you some insights of some things to check out around Bloomington and Monroe County. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Every time I hear this music, it reminds me of the beginning of one of my favorite Christmas movies, A Christmas Story. When you hear the brass group, the quartet or whatever, standing outside of Higbee's, the fictitious of sorts department store back in the 1930s, and Ralphie is spying his Red Ryder BB gun. Every time I hear that little Christmas blurb right there at the beginning, I have to listen and just smile a little bit. Jim Inman joining you as we wrap up the Bloomington Review. If you're catching us Friday night, stay tuned for all of your great programming here on WGCL Radio. Saturday morning coming up in just a few minutes, Your Money with David Hayes. It's the investment show, and David and Rod Holloway are in the studio this week catching you up on all the fun stuff that happens this time of year, the Santa Claus rallies, and what do you do in December time, and just all of that. So if you're catching us Saturday on the replay, make sure that you stay tuned for the next hour with Your Money with David Hayes. Forecast for the weekend, Friday night, tonight, if you're catching us on the live show, rain tonight, low around 42. Saturday, 20% chance of rain in the morning with a high near 45. Saturday night, partly cloudy, low around 29. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 41. Of course, all your weather, all the time, WGCL, WGCLradio.com, 96.1 FM, AM 1370, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. You got all of it, basically. Just follow along and you'll be great and just fine. From Julie Warren, the weekend in Bloomington, a few things to check out as the holiday season approaches. This weekend, December 5th through the 7th, it's Art Fairs and Bazaars, the Unitarian Universalist Church Fair and Bazaar that took place, started today on Friday, and then on Saturday, 9 to 4. There's a holiday bazaar by the Service in Friendship near the YMCA Southeast. That's going on Saturday from 9 till noon. And then there's the Unity Christmas Craft Fair taking place Saturday, 10 to 12, and then on Sunday before and after the 11 a.m. service. Now, if you want a little touch of culture, so to speak, the Nutcracker is being presented by the IU Ballet Theater. Took place, taking place tonight, Friday night at 8 o'clock. Saturday, there's a matinee at 2 p.m., and then another show at 8 p.m., and then on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. These shows are at the IU MAC, the Music Arts Center. Admission starts at $10 for students and $15 for the general public. Also this weekend, Krampus. Now, I don't know enough about this, and maybe somebody out there can post this up on our Facebook page, but this takes place on Saturday, 5:30 in the afternoon, and I'm just going to read you what Julie has on the flyer here. Every kid knows about Santa Claus, but this family event will teach kids about the mythical Krampus, creatures who punish naughty children. There will be activities, a parade, Santa's going to be there handing out candy, and the beastly Krampus will be there as well. Stand up close for a creepy encounter or far away from for a less scary view. This is taking place at the Showers Complex and the Beeline Trail, and the parade is going to be at 4th Street and Madison. It's all free, and again, it starts on Saturday at 5:30, so make sure that you check that out if that's your thing there. And then there's at the Buskirk Chumley on Saturday night is the Indiana Premier Men's Acapella Group, Another Round. They're going to be doing their 19th annual holiday concert, so you can check that out at the Buskirk. And on Sunday, Mick Foley, WWE legend. I already know that Mr. Pillar is going to be there. He's got to be. WWE legend Mick Foley, and he's a native of Bloomington. Now, that I did not know. He's coming to the Comedy Attic for two shows. He's a 2013 WWE Hall of Fame inductee. He has retired from full-time wrestling and has been performing comedy for several years now. So that's going to be taking place at the Comedy Attic this weekend. Also, head out to Ellisville if you are so inclined. Saturday evening at 7:30, get there around 7 o'clock to take part of the cookie walk. Edgewood High School, it's the 21st annual. 21st annual Tis the Season concert at Edgewood High School in the auditorium there. Presented by the high school choirs, Music Warehouse, Sophisticated Ladies. This is my alma mater, and this is a program that actually started when I was still in high school and had the pleasure of being part of it for many years. I'm not part of it this year, but if you want a true Broadway kind of experience, singing, dancing, all kinds of good stuff, it's 7:30 at Edgewood High School Saturday night, and then a second show on Sunday at 2 o'clock. They also have a fantastic cookie walk. All of these homemade cookies and treats that you can enjoy before the show and then during admission. They have boxes. They have the gloves. You go and pick them up. You find the kind of stuff that you want and then take it home, because you can say that you cooked it. Nobody's going to know the difference, and then you're going to be loved on forever and ever and ever. So head out to Edgewood High School this weekend and check out Tis the Season. My hope is Saturday night that I get to go up to Franklin, Indiana. I have a buddy of mine who has a couple extra tickets to the Art Craft Theater and A Christmas Story. Julie Warren and David Pillar and I mentioned this a couple weeks back, so I'm hopeful to get up there on Saturday night for the show and enjoy a little bit of that. I mean, I've been told that this is the old school theater, old candy, old everything, cartoons before, so hopefully this will take place this year. I'm finally being able to do it. But yeah, when you have a birthday on a Tuesday night, there's not too much that you can really do with it. I mean, and plus I'm not getting any younger, so when you've got friends with kids and obligations and work and stuff like that, yeah, it's okay. I enjoyed a nice little cake at work and lots of Facebook messages. I will say, though, I got a card from my Aunt Myrna. I got a card from my grandmother, my mom, and my Aunt Joellen. And those are the kinds of things that I actually like to keep. I mean, the Facebook messages are nice, but 5, 10 years, 20 years down the line, you know, when you pass those on to the next generation, or if they want to know about people in the family who may not be around anymore, those are the things that you can share with them. It's hard to pull up a Facebook message from 2006 and try and talk about it. It's just, I don't know. But I'm that guy. I'm the sentimentalist. As I shared with Allison a little bit ago, you know, I like the old stuff. I like the nice handwritten note and the cheesy, kitschy stuff and all of that. So what can I say? I'm just me. Thanks so much for tuning into the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again to Allison Zook for coming in. And make sure that you guys check out facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. We'll have all the information up there about what is going on this weekend around Bloomington and Monroe County. Everybody be safe, be smart, turn your headlights on. How many people have you seen this over the last couple of weeks in these late starts and late nights and early nights? And turn your headlights on, people. Come on. That's enough for old man Inman. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.